studying your Bible. We appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. We've been talking about, we'll be talking about today, the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. I would invite you to take your Bible and turn to the Scriptures if you can and follow along as we go through the study, because it's always good to see what the Bible has to say about the things that we're talking about. If that's not convenient, maybe you could take a pencil and paper and jot down the Scriptures, and I would encourage you to go back and study the things that we cover on the broadcast. And if you have any questions or comments, at the end of the broadcast, you'll be given information how you can contact us, and also the times of our services where you can come and visit with us at Grace Bible Church here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We appreciate you listening, and I hope that the broadcast is not only a blessing but informative. Our purpose is to give you some information that will help you understand your Bible. There are certain principles that God's Word lays out that make it much easier to understand the Bible. The Bible is not as difficult as most people seem to think. One of the reasons that the modern translations have been so popular is that people have been told and people have been made to believe that the Word of God is very difficult to understand. Yet, if you follow certain principles, it's like a key that unopens the door and the door of understanding to the Scriptures. That key primarily is centers around the truth that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And to rightly divide the word of truth is simply to distinguish the Scriptures that are written directly to the church, the body of Christ, for the dispensation of the grace of God, from those that were written for and to the nation Israel. Now, we believe that all the Bible is equally inspired. But we also know that there are certain truths that God gave to the Apostle Paul for us today in this present dispensation. And it's through those truths that we find out how we're saved, and we find out who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ, and how we're to walk and operate in this present dispensation. So we want to talk about some of those things, as we have been, concerning the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 1, the verse that we've been starting out with each week is Galatians 1, verse 11, where Paul said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." When we talk about the revelation of Paul, we're not talking about Paul's ideas or Paul's thoughts. We're talking about information that was revealed directly to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, and it began there in Acts chapter 9 at his conversion. And so today we want to look at another truth that Paul revealed to us in this present dispensation that's very important and there's much controversy about. In Romans chapter 7, the context there is the law. And Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. For what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Now, Paul makes it very clear that the law, as far as we're concerned today, we have been delivered from the law. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're to look at the Ten Commandments and go out and try to break all of them? No, that's not at all what we're talking about. But we're talking about the system of law that was given to the nation Israel. We are no longer under that law today. We're under grace. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 17, that grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, but it was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It was the revelation, part of the revelation given to Paul, the dispensation of grace. As a matter of fact, he said that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he said that the dispensation of the grace of God was given to him for us in Ephesians chapter 1. So we want to consider today the law and the fact that we are delivered from that law. The law, as I mentioned a moment ago, includes the Ten Commandments, but yet it goes beyond simply the Ten Commandments. When people think about the law, they generally think about the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, all those things. But you know, the law, there were really three parts of it as far as Israel was concerned. And the reason I mention this is because there are some groups today that seem to want to indicate to people that they are keeping that Old Testament law, that they're operating under that law. But they're not. Did you know that that law included the fact that if a child was rebellious, they were to be taken outside the city and stoned to death? Thank God we're not under that law today, and all of us would be in some serious trouble if we were. But in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, we find there the moral law that was given to the nation Israel. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 through 24, we find what is called the civil law. These are the laws that were given to the nation Israel that govern their life day by day. These are the laws that had to do with if man committed murder or committed adultery or stole or anything like that. So the civil law was given as an indication to the nation Israel, or as an instruction to the nation Israel, rather, of how they were to live one with another. And then in Exodus chapter 25, we find the ceremonial law, what's called the ceremonial law. That law had to do with the means of worship. And it's very detailed as far as the tabernacle and the materials that were to be used there and the sacrifices that were to be brought. So all of this makes up the law. And that's why I say that there is nobody today that is practicing the Old Testament law as it is written. As a matter of fact, even the Jewish people who claim to be under that law are not operating under that law. They've modified it. They've made revisions to it, as I mentioned a moment ago. They don't take rebellious children outside the city and stone them to death. They don't practice the law as it's written down in the Word of God. Now, the law was given about 1,500 years before Christ. And when Christ comes, that law is still in effect. I want you to notice with me over in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I came not to destroy the law." Some people have the idea that when Jesus Christ came during His earthly ministry, that He immediately did away with the law, but He never did so. He said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." Toward the end of His earthly ministry, before He goes to the cross, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not." Well, what is He instructing them to do there? He said the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Well, you know what was taught in Moses' seat. It was the law of Moses. And yet, Jesus Christ tells them, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. He's instructing them specifically to continue to practice the law of Moses, to keep that law. And we find that's exactly what they do over in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. We find there that they're observing the feast days. They're observing the law that was given to them through Moses. As a matter of fact, all the way over in Acts chapter 20, the Bible says that there were thousands of Jews which believed, and they were all zealous of the law. Now, when the Apostle Paul came on the scene, he was preaching justification by grace through faith apart from the law, and that caused a problem, obviously. And so in Paul's epistles, as we read there in Romans chapter 7, we find that there was a change that took place. We have a chart here on the that where we have the scriptures outlined, and I think this will maybe show it clearer. But if you want to look at this, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the law is still in effect. The gospel of the kingdom is being preached. Christ dies on the cross. We find the law is still being practiced during the book of Acts. But in Romans through Philemon, there is truth revealed to us concerning the fact that we are no longer under that law. Well, what happened? God replaced the law program with a dispensation of the grace of God that He gave to the Apostle Paul. And you know, rather than resisting this and fighting against it, people ought to praise God for that, because under that law program, that program is spoken of in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as a ministration of death. And so we thank God today that we're not under the law. That does not mean that we have no responsibility to do the things that are written down in the Word of God. But we're not under that law system, that program of law that was given to the nation Israel. As a matter of fact, the first thing I want you to notice is that the law was given to Israel. It was not ever given to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law..." In other words, the law was not given to the Gentiles. Well, who was it given to? Well, we know it was given to Moses. We read there in John chapter 1 where the Bible says the law came by Moses. But notice more specifically that it was given to a people. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us." Who is us? That's the nation Israel, to whom Moses was sent to lead out of Egypt. The Lord, verse 3, "The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire." In other words, when God Almighty gave the law, He gave it to the nation Israel, and it had a very specific purpose. Parts of that law, for example, the Sabbath, which we're going to be talking about in another study, had to do with a covenant or a relationship between God and His chosen people, Israel. Now, as far as Paul was concerned, I want you to notice what he revealed about the law. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 20, he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." It's interesting there. He says down in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Well, how was righteousness without the law manifested? By the writings and by the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. He made it manifested that no longer was there righteousness associated with keeping the law. The righteousness was by the faith of Jesus Christ. It was by that which Christ did on Calvary in our behalf. And so the purpose of the law, it was not given to save or justify men in the dispensation of grace. It was a schoolmaster, the Bible says. Over in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 16, Paul addresses the law as far as the Galatians are concerned, because they were having a real problem as far as people coming into Galatia and trying to overthrow their faith. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You see, what Paul is showing us here is that man could never be justified by simply keeping the law. Even though there was a law system, there was always faith involved in that. And you know, the Pharisees were a perfect picture of that. The Pharisees kept the law. They were very concerned with that law, and they were very dedicated to the law. But Jesus Christ told them, "You're of your father the devil." So the law in itself could not bring about salvation. But the law system was a performance system where a person who believed that law and practiced it could be accepted of God. But in the dispensation of grace, that is not true. Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." And he says that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So it was not given to save people or to justify men. It was given as a schoolmaster. Look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, the Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Now, when you get down to verse 19, he says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." You know, the Bible is very clear that there is none righteous. And we are all guilty before God. As a matter of fact, James said in James chapter 2, verse 10, "If a man offended in one point, he was guilty of all of it." And when Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. We find out through the Apostle Paul, the only lawful use of the law today is to show men that they are sinners. To show men that without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for them. The law stops every man's mouth. That's what he says there. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, when a man talks about his flesh and his ability to bring about salvation, the law says that just won't happen. It stops the mouth of every man. And so the purpose of the law was given to show that men are guilty, and we are guilty. Not only that, but under the law, mankind was under a curse. In Galatians chapter 3, again, as Paul writes to the Galatians, who had been bewitched, as he called it, by those who were deceiving them. In Galatians 3:10, the Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." The law brought a curse. Now, people today that claim to be practicing the law, they need to consider what the Bible says here. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Well, what about people today that tell you that you've got to keep the Sabbath? What about people today that tell you you're under the law? And if you break the law, then you've got to confess your sins and so forth and so on. Or tell you that if you keep the Ten Commandments, God will accept you. Well, the Bible says, cursed, that the man who is under the law is under the curse. But you see, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and died for our sins, the Bible said He became a curse for us. He died for our sins. And when He was on that cross, He took the law out of the way. So the law was given to show us what sin is. Here in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Notice, it's our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified, how? By faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What is a schoolmaster? It was the law. What happens when a person's under faith, when a person trusts Jesus Christ? They're no longer under that schoolmaster. Paul said, we've been made free from the law. We're not under the bondage of that law. We have liberty. And in Galatians chapter 5, he tells the Galatians there, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, the law today, placing people under the law, is just like putting them under a yoke of bondage. And so, as I mentioned a moment ago, Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, and the lawful use of that law is to show men that they are sinners, to show them that in their flesh there is no way that God could accept them, that they are there is none righteous, no, not one, that by one man sin into the world and death passed upon all men. The law shows us all of those things about mankind and his inability to bring about his own salvation. And it shows us the importance of Christ coming. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God today that we're not under that law. We're under grace. And that grace came by the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary when he died on that cross. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Not the keeping of the law, not doing good works, not joining the church, not walking the aisle, not repeating prayers, not inviting Jesus into your heart, not committing your life to Christ. You see, when we talk about the law, we talk about generally in relation to Israel. But I want you to understand today that religion today has their own set of laws. They have a set of standards, and that's what the law was. The law was a judicial standard for the nation Israel. And even though most of religion today will acknowledge the fact that we're not under that law of Israel that was given to Israel, most religions today have established a law of their own, a standard, if you will, and that standard is not in line with the Word of God. In other words, one religion will say you've got to do this in order to be saved. Another will say you've got to do something else in order to be saved. What have they done? They've established a standard. They say, if you'll do this, Christ will save you. Well, you know what? I've got some good news for you today. Your salvation is not dependent upon anything that you have done in the past, what you are doing now, or what you will do in the future. The laws that have been established by the religious system, the standards that have been established by the religious system, are simply man standards if they don't conform to the Word of God. We look to the Word of God, and we look to the revelation given to the Apostle Paul, and we find out that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And we see through the Scriptures that the keeping of the law has nothing to do with our salvation. It was taken out of the way, according to Colossians chapter 2, nailed to the cross, and it has no power over us. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus, putting no confidence in our flesh, believing that His death is sufficient for our salvation. And we trust only in that. And if you're not trusting in that, then you've been deceived into believing another gospel, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 1. Now, the law worketh wrath. Look back in Romans chapter 4. You see, people today that place themselves under the law, whether it be the law of Moses or the law of a religious system, the man-made law, the Bible says that the law worketh wrath. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 15, it says, "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law is called a ministration of death. And in 2 Corinthians 3:7, the Bible says, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration," that's the law, "of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." You see, the law dispensation, the ministration of the law, has been replaced with the ministration of the Spirit, he says, and the ministration of the law was a ministration of condemnation. So righteousness today is apart from the law. We read that in Romans chapter 3. We'll go back there and read it again. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 20, the Bible says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God, in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ," notice, "unto all and upon all them that believe." Not upon them that keep the law, not upon them that do the things that men say you have to do in order to be saved, but unto them that believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul. What is that gospel? It's the good news of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said there in verse 1, "I delivered unto you the gospel." And he said that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and He was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he said the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen, the whole point in what I'm trying to convey here is that Paul reveals to us that salvation has nothing to do with what we do in our flesh. How many times have I heard preachers on radio or TV, and they'll talk about committing your life to the Lord? Well, that's a wonderful thing to do. I would encourage all saved people to commit their life to the Lord. But I want you to understand that salvation is not a commitment that you make. It's not simply a lifestyle that you work your way into or that you adopt. You see, Christianity has been presented by a lot of people as simply a new lifestyle. That's what the political world looks at Christianity today as a particular lifestyle that conflicts with the lifestyle of those that aren't Christians. But salvation, Christianity, is a belief system. It's not based upon what we do or don't do. It's based upon what we believe. Now, obviously, those that believe are told that they have a responsibility to act upon those beliefs. But to make salvation your commitment of your life is to say that somehow you've got something to do with your salvation and bringing it about when Christ did it all there at Calvary. So the good news is that we're not under the law. We're not under that curse. We're not under that wrath. We have new life in Jesus Christ, who revealed to the Apostle Paul that the dispensation of the grace of God was replacing this law dispensation, and that's the dispensation we're living in today, the dispensation of grace, when salvation is by grace through faith without the deeds of the law. So we see in Romans chapter 3 that righteousness is apart from the law. But notice over in Romans chapter 10, as we bring our study to a conclusion today, the problem with people is that they don't understand God's righteousness, so they're still going about to establish their own righteousness. And they do that by doing religious acts. Well, that's not going to bring about righteousness. Righteousness is by the faith of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," notice they're ignorant of God's righteousness, "and therefore they're going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." In every one of those scriptures that we wrote about, that we read about the law, Paul contrasts the keeping of the law with the believing, that is, faith. He said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Thank God today that our righteousness is an imputed gift from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God Almighty on the basis of what Christ did on that cross and not what we do in our flesh. Thank God today that we've been delivered from the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. And that means today that if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, He'll save you this very instant without you doing one single work. Would you do that right now?
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.